Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla, and I'm the online engagement director here. And throughout the rest of February, as we're talking in our sermon series about stories of faith in Scripture, in Trinity Talks, we're going to be talking about stories of faith here in our church. And so I'm really happy to be sitting down with Jen Eggard to hear a little bit about her story. Yeah, so welcome to the podcast,
Thank
Jen.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So for those who are watching or listening, they might have seen you around our church before. Mm-hmm. You're often on the stage leading us in worship, and you're one of our church wardens here. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to hear more about your story of faith.
I'm happy to and excited to tell you.
Yeah.
Hope it's not boring, but I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah. So maybe we can just start. How did you first learn about Jesus?
So I grew up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I think I've known about Jesus since I could talk.
Okay.
My dad taught us the Lord's Prayer. We would repeat it after him. And we went to church. I don't even remember never going to church. We've always gone to church.
Okay.
Billy Graham was a staple in our house on a mm-hmm. Sunday. You couldn't even whisper in the room when he was on. And then when we moved to Mississauga, my mom informed us that we would be going to Christian Bible camp in the summer. And we did that for years. Mm-hmm. St. Bride's was our home church. When I was 14, I joined youth group. They didn't have a junior youth group, so I had to join the senior youth group because my mom insisted that I be in youth group.
Okay.
And actually, fun fact about that, we still meet together sometimes, our youth group, just to check in with each other. And also, Harold Percy was my youth pastor.
Okay.
For about a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when I was 15, I got confirmed. And when I was 17, I went to a Billy Graham crusade, mm-hmm. go figure. And that's where I gave my life to Christ.
Okay.
And then I guess there were some things that happened, and I sort of stepped away from the church for a little bit. And then I was brought back to it and eventually got here to Trinity, took Harold's Following First Steps, and that was the first time I realized that I could have my own personal relationship with Christ. Mm. And then from there, got involved in church ministry, usually mostly pastoral care. And yeah, so, and my journey continues.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good sort of overview.
Uh-huh.
So when you decided that you wanted to follow Jesus for yourself, you know, at that Billy Graham crusade and through Harold's ministry later, mm-hmm. What was it that sort of made you decide that you wanted to take those decisions?
I think it was the Following First Steps, and he had another course too right after that, and I cannot remember the name of it, but both of those sort of helped me realize that, you know, I could have my own personal relationship and what that meant. Mm. Like, you know, when I was 17 and I gave my life to Christ, I think I knew on the surface what that meant. But I think when I took Harold's course, it really sort of sank in that this was a relationship that I was going to have, that I could talk to Christ when I wanted to, that, you know, reading scripture, getting deep into the word was helping me to recognize and get to know who he was more and more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, that's, and then being involved in ministry as well and having that opportunity to serve God through serving his people, mm-hmm. and just, you know, that sense of being a part of something, a part of a family, you know, because I think God chooses us to be in his family. Mm-hmm. He comes after us. He's like, he's relentless, but when we're in it, we're in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We're yeah. in it. So,
yeah. yeah. And that's one of the really cool things about faith and about a relationship with Christ, right? It's like, mm-hmm. we get to choose it, but like you said, when we're in it, we're in it.
We are.
And no matter what we do, we can walk away, we can do our own thing, but actually that grip that God has on us does not change, yeah. right?
It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
strong.
Yeah, that's cool. So when you think about, you know, you said there was a time where you had walked away from faith and then sort of came back to it. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the difference between those times, like, what has been the impact of faith in your life?
Faith has been a foundation for me. Faith, I think, and that's, I think, where my parents started it, mm-hmm. where they recognized what, you know, following Christ was, and they wanted to make sure that we had that foundation. But, you know, your parents still can't decide for you. You have to make that decision.
Right.
So I think faith gives you foundation. It helps you to sort of to create your own values around that. Mm-hmm. It gives you confidence. You have comfort. You have some place to go. You have someone to turn to. Mm-hmm. You have, like, God. You have God to turn to. It just helps you to recognize that you have a part in this world. Like, God has decided what you're going to do, and you're going to be a part of that. And being a part of that helps you build on your faith, because you go through trials, and God brings you through those trials. You're not on your own. And I think that's the biggest part of it, is that you're not on your own. And I think that's when it becomes real for people, when they go through their most difficult times, and they recognize that this just isn't a thing that you're doing. This is a real, you know, spiritual connection that you have with God, and that He does exist. And when we're going through the difficult times that we don't like, that's when we recognize too, you know, when we want to give Him advice, like I always want to.
Yeah. Give God advice.
Yeah. Give God advice. Yeah. No, this is what I need, but here's some ideas that I have. Okay. Well, you can run around the mountain until you get tired and let me know when you're ready. But yeah. So I think, that's what faith is. It's just having that grounding. And just knowing that you always have some place. You always have someone to go to. You have scripture that's powerful. Those words are not just words. They're powerful words. You have devotion, and there's opportunities for you to spend time with Christ alone, which I think is really important. I mean, this is important, being at church and having fellowship, but you also have to have that time alone with Christ.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned, you know, this idea that faith carries us through some of those difficult times in your life. I'm wondering, what has that looked like for you?
So for me, it was, I think, the loss of my mom. My mom passed away when she was 40. She had been sick when I was 15, and she would have been 30-something then. And I had prayed and prayed my little heart out that God heal her. And she did. She got better. But then when I was about 18, she got really sick. And unfortunately, I was the only one at home when she was not feeling well. And my dad was at work, so I had to call the doctor, take her to the doctor's office, then take her to Emerge. I've never seen my mom in so much pain, and seeing her cry was the hardest thing ever. Yeah. And then from there, she got transferred down to Toronto General Hospital. And I started nursing at George Brown in August. She was still there, so I would go after school and visit her. And in October, she passed away of that year. So it was really tough, because then I was really angry, because I in my little, you know, youthful mind, I thought God had healed her. So if you healed her, then why did you take her? So it was really difficult, because my mom meant a lot to me. Yeah. Like most people's moms mean a lot to them, but I was really, really close to my mom.
Sure.
So I felt like, you know, I just felt lost without her. And my dad was there, but we weren't as close. So I was very close to my mom. So it was really hard, you know, and I didn't understand. What was happening was that I was going through grieving. I didn't understand that. I just knew that I just had a lot of anger, and then I went through different stages. And so I did. I stepped away, because I thought, well, if you're the kind of God that's going to take my mom away from me, someone that I truly love, then you can't possibly love me.
Right.
And so I stepped away, kind of did my own thing, struggled a lot, you know, same running around the mountain until I was ready, but God never left. He was always there. That poem, Footsteps in the Sand, that is exactly what happened. He carried me and carried me until I was ready to come back. He didn't force me to come back. He didn't throw me out of his, you know, out of his family. He just waited for me. You know, he's a God who will wait on you when you're having difficulty, when you decide that you want to come back. And I think that's the most amazing thing, that for people that are just new to following Christ, is that it's never a situation where God is forcing you to do anything or threatening you that if you don't do this, then you're going to suffer this.
Right.
You know, he's a God that waits because he loves us, and he knows. And the pain we're going through, he's going through it too.
Yeah.
Yes. He's feeling for it too. But when you're like, when you're young and you're not, you know, you're just angry and you can't see anything but your own pain, you don't see that.
Yeah.
You don't see it.
Yeah. And that, what you were saying there reminded me of, you know, things we've talked about at different points at Trinity, but particularly during the Habakkuk series that we did last fall, you know, that God can handle that anger, right? That it's okay to be angry at God, to be upset, to be going through grief. That, yeah, God doesn't abandon us in that, right?
He doesn't, no. Yeah. And when you're ready to come back, he welcomes you like the prodigal son with open arms, you know? And he's ready to just, let's just continue from where we left off.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, recoiling or talking about what happened and why did you do what you do. It's just like, he just accepts you and you just keep going. And that's the amazing thing about being a follower. Is that there are no conditions. It's you love Christ, you love God, they love you, and or he loves you, and then you continue on with your life.
Yeah, for sure. So you said there was this moment where you sort of walked away from faith, but eventually you came back. So I'm wondering, what was it that drew you back to church or back to Christ in some way?
This is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but I started dating this guy
okay.
when I was in my early 20s, and he took me home to meet his family. And his mom and I, I was just in awe of her. She was a very strong woman. And she and I got very close. To this day, we're still close. She's in her 90s now. We're still okay. close. She's like my, it's like she took over from my mom when my mom mm-hmm. left. It's like God gave her to me. And she, you know, we got very close. And she said to me one day, so she said, do you go to church? I said, well, I used to. She goes, okay, I'll see you on Sunday. This is where my church is. And you don't say no to Selena.
Okay, okay.
So she was the one that I, you know, reluctantly went back. But then something happened. It's like I remembered who I belonged to. And just this sense of feeling like you're home, feeling a sense of comfort came back to me. So then she was the reason that I went back. Yeah. And I have to say that when my mom was in the hospital, she did a lot of praying in those rooms. Because my siblings and I have been extremely successful in our careers. We've done very well in our lives. So I would say she prayed for this. She prayed for Selena. She prayed to God to take care of her kids. And Selena was one of the people that took care of her kid. Mm-hmm. You know, she became like my mom.
Yeah.
And she watched over me. So, yeah, she brought me back to my faith.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Have there been any other sort of people, like in our sermon series, we're calling them heroes of faith. You know, the people who have really stood out to us as examples of faith who've helped to carry you through your life?
Well, in the Bible, I would say Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Because Moses never asked to be a leader. He mm-hmm. never asked to be
yep,
a leader.
Yep.
He was in, you know, he was in Pharaoh's palace. And when he left to go to the desert, I'm sure he was thinking, you know what? Good. I got away from what I did. I feel bad, but I'm just going to, you know, take care of my sheep and yep. I'm good. And then God comes along and starts talking to him. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, who do you think I am? You know, I killed someone. What are you talking about? Me going to get your people from Egypt? Like, no, that's not me. He's just so real about it. He wasn't meant to be a leader, but God drew that out of him. Mm. God knew, like in Psalm 139, it talks about God knowing us, you know, knitting us in our mother's wombs, knowing who we were. He knew who he was before he came, and he knew what he was going to do with him. And that's kind of parallels my life when God asked me to do something, and I'm like, I have that Moses, you know, I don't know, Lord, are you sure it's me? A perfect example of that is Stephen Ministry. Judy Paulson used to be an associate minister. She's a good friend of mine. And at the time, she was bringing Stephen Ministry back to Trinity. So I had just finished with youth. Harold had encouraged me to be with youth. And so she came to me and she said, you know, I'm bringing back Stephen Ministry. And I said, that's great. She goes, I had a dream and God told me that you should be one of the leaders. I'm like, Judy, I don't even know what Stephen Ministry is. What are you talking about?
Isn't it great when God tells other people what you're supposed to be doing?
And I go, what are you talking? I don't even know what it is. She goes, don't worry about it. We'll send you away for training.
Yeah.
And she goes, why don't you prayerfully think about it? And I'm like, okay. And the whole time that I was thinking, okay, Lord, this is not me, and he's going to accept that.
Right.
No, he didn't accept that. So I ended up being involved in Stephen Ministry as a Stephen leader for about 10 years.
Right.
Doing that. But it's just that thing where I never thought I was a leader. I never thought I had, you know, leadership qualities, but God thought differently.
Yeah.
Right. So Moses was always, it's always been a parallel for me because God used him as his vessel when Moses allowed him to and had faith in him and trusted him.
Right.
And so when I grew to learn how to do that, a little more of that, then God showed me more. Mm-hmm. And God always gives us the tools that we need, but we just assume that we're doing it alone.
Right.
Because fear comes in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of faith. And then God shows you, you know, because Moses asked for, he wanted him to speak. I'm not a speaker. So he gave him Aaron. Like he just did not let him get away with it. He never once said, okay, step down and mm-hmm. I'll put someone else in place. He said, no, you can do it. I'll just get this person to help you, right?
Right.
So, and then there are some scriptures like Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. That is one of my staples. Because when everything's in turmoil, when we're having a hard time, we think we have to solve those issues on our own.
Right.
But God is asking us to just, you know, you just stay still, just recognize who I am and I got you.
Right.
I'm going to take care of this for you. You know, and there've been many times in my life when that's happened, when there's been a difficult time. This isn't a difficult time, but I am a registered yoga instructor and I decided to take the course because, people would say, oh, you know, it's a sin to practice yoga. And
right.
I thought, okay, I need to find out for myself what this is about.
Right.
So in taking my yoga course, we had a professor of philosophy
okay.
teach us about the philosophy of yoga. Mm-hmm. So in one of our sessions, he talked about the scripture, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. But he was talking in terms of, you know, drawing in nature and recognizing yourself.
Right.
So after class, I waited till after class. I didn't mention it during class. And he knew that I was a Christian, and so did the rest of the class, because we introduced ourselves.
Right.
So I went to him and I said, not to, you know, criticize, but can I just give you, you know, what the meaning of Psalm 46:10 is for me?
Right.
So I told him just what I explained to you. And he said, oh, I never thought of it that way. And the following week he came back and he said to the class, he brought up the fact that I brought this up about Psalm 46:10. And then he talked about his own experience, how he was having a rough week. Mm. And then he just took the time to be still and recognize that, you know, God was in charge and everything just, you know, changed for him.
Right.
And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, because again, those words are powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, and I talked about Psalm 139. You know, we tend to forget who we are and whose we are, and we listen to other voices that question our integrity and question our abilities and question, you know, who we are. And just going back to Psalm 139, it speaks clearly to who we are and who we belong to.
For sure.
So that is one of the scriptures that I truly, truly love.
Yeah.
And as far as heroes in my life, my mom will always be my mentor, will always be my hero.
Yeah.
Because she, when I was 11, she worked in the kitchen at York Finch Hospital and decided that wasn't enough.
Okay.
And my parents had bought a bungalow in Mississauga, and we were the only black family in the neighborhood. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
So my dad's concern was how are we going to keep this up if you do this? And my mom was relentless. She said, don't worry about it. We'll get it done. Cause her faith was that strong.
Mm.
And she would talk to us as kids all the time. And she would tell us, you know, you can do anything that you want. You know, I believe in you. I love you. And, you know, there are going to be barriers. You're going to have
sure.
a hard time.
Yep.
And because of being a person of color, she said, you know, you're going to have to work twice as hard, but you can do it. You'll
yes.
get through it. So she showed us, because she went to school and she graduated with honors and she became a lab technician and worked for this geology company, and our lives changed. But to be able to see that as a child was pretty amazing. And I have her diploma. So when I think that I can't do something and I somehow come across them as I'm, you know, panning the room in thought, I see them, it's like, okay, I don't have an excuse.
Mm.
You know, I have to be able to do this. She was just a very strong person. She was strong in her faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say when she was in the hospital, I'm sure she prayed for us. It had to be her, because our lives could have been very different.
Mm-hmm.
When she passed away, we had a hard time grieving because we didn't know how to, my dad didn't know how to connect with us that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that she had us in mind. She was praying for us all the time. She was, and then of course, Selena, and then my nurse manager at the hospital. When I worked on her unit, I didn't want to work on her unit at first. I wanted to be with the babies, and she was more geriatrics. And I love elderly people, but you know, being a new graduate, I wanted to go where the babies were.
Of course, yes.
So I ended up working for her, and we're still friends. And she reminds me all the time. Remember when you didn't want to work for me? It's a joke between us. But she pushed me because we did my performance review, and she goes, "Okay, so this will be the last year that I see you here for this performance review." I go, what do you mean? She goes, you need to go. You're young and you need to experience other things. And it just so happens that they made a major change in the staffing.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of us were going to have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I had seniority, so I was quite happy to stay where I was. And she goes, you will be one of them. So I went from a geriatric unit to an active medical surgical unit, which
wow.
is huge.
Yeah.
And I was like terrified, but she said, you're going. I said, what if I don't want to go? She goes, you don't have a choice. So it was almost like God put these women in my life to take over where my mom left off. There
right.
was an incident at school at George Brown where I had just finished my clinical.
Mm-hmm.
It was my last clinical. And my teacher, I had a B+, and I was so happy because nursing was not easy. It really wasn't. So I was so happy with my B+. And then she took me by my hand. And you have to understand, the instructors we had lived in the hospitals.
Mm.
Previously, when they were going through their programs, they lived in residence. So they were all older white women, our instructors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm prefacing that for a reason. So she took my hand. She said, Jen, you know what? She says, you might have to look for another profession. I'm like, did she give me a B+ or a D+? Because I'm confused right now. she said, no, it's just that I'm concerned that, you know, the way that this profession is, that you may not get in. And what she was saying to me was because of the color of my skin. So that was very upsetting for me.
Yeah.
So I used to go visit my mom after school, and she lived vicariously through me, because later on I found out that she wanted to be a nurse, and she never, you know, pursued it. So she would be excited to hear what I did for the day. So this particular day I went to visit her and she said, how was school? I said, it was okay. And so she said, it was okay. And I said, yeah, it was just, you know, a day at school. She goes, well, what did you do? And I said, you know, not much. So she goes, what happened? Because, you know, your mother knows you more than any.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, nothing. She goes, no, I want to know what happened. So I told her. She got mad at me. She goes, and what are you going to do? What do you mean? What are you going to do? I said, if you're asking me if I'm going to quit nursing, no, Mom, I'm not going to quit nursing. I'm going to continue. She goes, that's what I need to hear. She goes, because I told you it wasn't going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you think about being a Christian, God tells us, when you become a Christian, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have barriers. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people tell you, you know, that you're wrong and that what you believe in is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, you know, people are going to make you feel fearful. But I have you. I believe in you. Mm-hmm. You're mine. So it's almost like she paralleled that, you know. And I will always remember everything that she says to me. There's times when I'm just sitting, you know, or I have to make a decision and I'm praying and I hear her as well.
Yeah.
You know, because she believed so much. And my dad did too. My dad was phenomenal in his belief. I mean, if you go anywhere with my dad and you're sharing a hotel room, like we went to visit my uncle to pay our respects to him. And so we shared a hotel room, my brother and my dad and I. And my dad, whenever he prays, he gets down on his knees. He still does that. And he taught us how to do that when we were little. So we had a really good Christian base growing up.
Yeah.
But again, you can have a Christian base, but at the end of the day, you still have to make your own decisions about it. Mm-hmm. Right. But they gave us a good base, a good foundation. And I think it's continued on. My brother and I are huge followers still, but my sisters are kind of on the fence, but we push because we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. But so my faith is a continuing journey. I'm still trying to learn more and more. I'm doing a part-time Master's of Divinity at Wycliffe. Mm-hmm. Really, really part-time, more casual than part-time.
Okay.
Because sometimes I just find it overwhelming because there's so much.
Sure. There's a lot to learn.
Yeah, there is, but it's so valuable, mm-hmm. you know, and of course I'm in a life group, a great life group. So it continues, and these are kind of the components that you need. I think devotion is important. Getting into the word is important. Prayer is important. I have been practicing contemplative prayer, centering prayer. There was a rector that came here years ago and talked about contemplative practice, and I've always been interested in it. So I found someone who actually used to go to this church, Sue Willard. Mm-hmm. She used to go to this church years ago, and she facilitates it. So went to her, and she taught me, and I've been practicing it ever since. And it's just Christian meditation is an opportunity to just spend quiet time with God, and it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's pretty effective.
Yeah.
So there's so many different things that you can do to just grow that relationship with Christ. Because I think when you do that, that's what builds your faith.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. For sure. And allowing God to use you as a vessel, that's the most important thing. Sometimes God calls us to speak and we say, you want me to say what to who? I do. It happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think you want me to do what I
right,
think.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's Moses again.
I'm not your person.
Yeah, there's Moses again.
Yeah.
But then it's like having faith and trust in him and knowing that he's asking you to do that and to obey. That's the most important thing.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your story with us. It's so neat to sort of see how God weaves all of the pieces together, right? And through all of the ups and the downs and the uncertainty, God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
And we just continue to fumble along in the ways that we can, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But he picks us up every time.
Yeah.
He's always there. It's just like the 3-year-old that's learning how to, or the 1-year-old that's learning how to walk and they fall down, or a 3-year-old that falls.
Yeah.
And mom's right there.
Yeah.
And they know that. So they have enough courage and faith to step out and try it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for tuning in for this week's episode of Trinity Talks. I hope that you have also found some encouragement and maybe some moments of identifying a little bit with Jen's story. And tune in next week to continue hearing more stories of faith from our folks here at Trinity. We'll see you then.